I mean, that way we'll be kind of, so I won't have to. Thank you again for inviting me. And you know, the people always say, "Oh, that's very kind of you to spend the Saturday or whole weekend with us." And so, but really, it is my pleasure. And for every big church I go to two small churches. And then really, my heart, I'll be honest. Of course, I enjoy going to a church of 2,000 to 3,000 people, but I also enjoy very much to come to a small church because through the sharing and interacting, those become my writing materials. And I do need a lot of writing material because I know I write columns and so. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is that I enjoy coming to South Bend. And but then I do miss one thing, because on Saturday that's when I go garage sale time. And only to buy. You know, selling is no fun. Garage sale is fun when you just shop and then you can look and bargain. And so, and I tell you this because this is my Saturday morning routine. Friday night, we're involved in church, and whenever I'm at home, I teach Awana. I tell mission stories. I'm the mission story speaker for children from 5-year-old to junior high. So I have three groups, a total of 220 kids, and the three sessions. So my, if some of you have a chance to get a Hua Chuan magazines, it's called. I also whatever I say and whatever I tell, and then I write it up, and it's called Xiao Xiao Xin Ling Da Shi Ming. It's just a way, you know, trying to tell kids about problems, the world problems, in a very different perspective. And you asked me, you know, you may ask me, what did I talk about last time? And last time I talked about cholera and water quality in third world countries. And so I make them drink the cholera anti-diarrhea water. You know, and then the month before that, we talked about refugees and children in refugees camp. And so, and then we built refugee camps and all that stuff. And then, so, anyway, coming back to garage sale. So Saturday morning, so we'll be busy all Friday night, and then the kids want to watch The Simpsons, and then until 11:30, and then by the time, then it's 8 o'clock, we'll get up, and my wife and I would, now that the boys don't want to come, and so, and then we'll go garage sale shopping, and they just kind of here, and for about 3 hours. I really do spend for 3 hours. And we drive the same pattern, and then we'll stop at a QT gas station, and I'll get my coffee, and I get as big a bit, you know, bigger cup. That's for 99 cents, any size. So of course we get the biggest one, and then we just drink, and then just by the time 11 o'clock, I'll come home. And usually, if we have a car load, you know, and so sometimes I'll get a TV for a couple of dollars, I'll get construction material that for the $2-3, and so I just put aside. You know, I remodel home as a hobby, so I'm always looking for building materials, and so recently I've been looking for glass blocks, and because I'm trying to fill a hole. So anyway, that's what I do. I'm not your quote unquote typical pastors that who read the Bibles all day long. I'm not. I do my Bible readings from morning from 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock, and after that 10 o'clock till about 1 o'clock. That's from my time with my wife. We go to Costco or your Sam's Club to do sample and do her shopping. I just kind of follow her, and then I'll come back, and then in the afternoon, and then that's when I do my remodeling project, and then at night when I come home, and then I'll work on my article writing and book related things. So I am not your typical pastor, but so don't judge me and then or compare me, because I'm not a little bit too different. And so, but I do want to talk about garage sale a bit because it's fun. And number one, it's not the money. Okay, I usually spend about $10 to $20, and I can buy a lot of things. Okay, and my wife enjoy with me because she kind of follow along. She used to be, long time ago, hey, this is all you stuff. And then now that she's just kind of follow, and she buys them for our kids at Awana because they need a lot of toys. And so she buys them cheap. So she was always looking around for, you know, the stuffed animals, the little tiny little one. And what do they call it? Beanie Baby. Yeah, Beanie Babies. Yeah. So she looks for those. And sometimes she'll buy the whole box, whole collection for 25 cents. And I'll bargain it down. And then the kids know that they'll redeem their coupons for all that. And then we'll find model car and all this, and then they're all new, so for the kids. So anyway, and then I would like I said, but you know, this is just something that we do and we have fun. And when our kids were at home, and you see some of my kids, they will come along too. So I thought it was good. And then the number one is the few things. First of all, that they came along for fun, and so this is family activity. Number two, that they got to the point that it says, 店里面太贵, we'll get it in garage sale. Okay, that means store things in expensive. So they may have never bought any toys from the store. And they always get, we can get a garage sale for 25 cents. And number three, they had learned to bargain. No, I'm sorry, one thing. They learn to know what the difference between price and the value. You know, that's very different. And this is, 这个不值得, this is not worth it. And so they, it's not just by the price. And then they learn to dicker. So, they'll look at a toy for a dollar and then they'll say 25 cents. Like their dad. And one of my son and the daughter had gotten even better than me. Now they just started 10 cents. And so they have learned from their dad, no, if you're going to settle for 50 cents, your final price is 50 cents, you usually have two quarters. And one you said a quarter. And then if they say no, then you the next quarter you bring it up. And I see a lot of them, the kids, my daughter went to, I'll tell you later, but my older daughter went to Beijing for 2 months. By the time she came back, her value system even got even better. I was so surprised. Now she counts everything in renminbi. That was even better. So everything that I was trying to buy for her, she said, no, she would say, Dad, that's too expensive. We don't need it. So, I have to be honest. 我们不是穷人. We're actually very rich. Okay? So we're quite well off as a doctor, as a plastic surgeon, anesthesiologist. I mean, we make good money. But we have always tried to keep our family, the living standard, about $60,000 level, okay, because that's what we before we wanted. We started a practice. We said we're not going to do practice, medical practice, all our life. We want to serve, and so so our family. We always teach our kids, we're trying to let them know that we're not trying to be stingy, but Dad and Mom, we have a desire. We want to serve, So we pick up bargains. And I'm not saying that everything that we have done is right. There's nothing that I ever know that I'll be very honest. Just because I wrote three books, and all three books are more of the failure stories and struggles. I'll share with you some of my struggles, and also, but I do want to bring out some of the biblical principle. This is how we have been struggling to teach our kid and to also pass on to our values. But most important, our primary goal is that we want them to pass on to our faith. 我们的信仰传给他们, that's our ultimate goal. And so, this is my family, and when we found out we were going to have twin boys, and so there are two things. Number one, we were so shocked because we were about to adopt. And the reason is that because every time we have a normal pregnancy, we always have another, we always follow up before we have a pregnancy that with either Down syndrome, trisomy, and all kinds of strange genetic problems. So we got so scared. And we would just stop. My wife said, I'm not going to get pregnant again. And so we were all ready to adopt. And so we did all the papers. And it turned out to be, the one we were going to adopt turned out to be a boy. And the family says, 这是我们自己的骨肉. 女的可以给人, 男的我们自己要. The boy they want to keep. And so, and then we found out that, I remember when we were in the ultrasound, and they says, oh, congratulations, it's boy. Two boys. And my mouth came up. I said, oh, no, there goes my early retirement. And so that's, I regret sometimes, we men, the father, have to be very careful what we say. And so that was what my wife says, that's what you said. I said, but then when the twin came, that we also did one thing, that we invited our parents because they were retiring. And so they were retiring as pastors. So we invited them, we said, we'll buy for a big house. And that was exactly the last economic downturn. So we bought a big home from the bank. And so we had 8 bedrooms. Yeah, it's one big Mormon home. You're welcome to come to Phoenix. You can come stay with me. And we have literally 20 pillows. You can 20 places to sleep. So, we invite our parents to come down and says, oh, we all live together. And my wife jumped on the idea and says, sure. I said, hold on. If the problem with it, if they come and if you don't get along with them, it would be a very messy departure, huh? And she said, fine. So they came. For about 3-4 years, everything was 相敬如宾, huh? That's it looks very good. And then one Christmas, me, kind of idealist, romanticist, and I said, why don't we invite all my sisters, and everybody comes. So one big family all together, since we have so many beds. So everybody came, so Christmas time. And fish and guests stinks after 3 days. And so, no, we don't stink. We just have to do our laundries. So everybody was doing the laundry, and then all the women and everybody was folding their clothes. And I looked at the one, and there was underwears. Oh, there's a lot of men's underwear. And so I look at it, and it says, oh, this one belonged to Peter, my sister, my younger sister. And she says, how do you know? I said, they all look the same. I said, oh, yeah, look at that. There's a one little yellow stain right here. I was joking. No, I wasn't. And And then my sister's next thing is, "You never liked my husband." From the very first day, I said, "Oh, no." I said, "You know, when we were kids, you joke about my girlfriends. You call her Idaho because she's big." And yeah, you know, she called it Idaho. The label. So, because she was small, and then her Hong Kong boyfriend was small, so I called him Peanuts. That's fair. I mean, I'll just, when you're young. So, and how would I know that she married Peanuts and I didn't marry Idaho? And so, and then this was 7 years ago. And so after living together for 3 days, all of a sudden, tension sparked. And my mother was sitting all this in the circle, said to me, "You're stupid." My mother, you know, always said no. Even though, whenever, you know, even if I'm 40, my father still said, "No, you're not very smart." And so my mother says, "That was stupid." My wife got defensive and says, "It's not his fault. It's not all his fault." My mother said the next phrase, "You're outsider, stay out of this." 你是外人,你少管. And all of a sudden, my dream of serving in church, my dream of early retirement and our one big harmonious family fell apart. And everybody dropped what they were doing. My mother went to the kitchen to start preparing, but then she was banging the things. Bang, bang, bang. I was wondering, my kitchen's going to break. And my sister started going outside and was making phone calls, trying to change her flight. And my wife went upstairs to one of the 8 rooms and was crying, locked up her door. And I said, "Oh no, all the women in my life has, just because of one stupid thing I said." Well, I went to my wife and says, "Honey, please, I may have an idealistic dream, but then, we have to have a good witness." She said, "I don't care about your dream, and I don't care about your church. Your mother never liked me." And now I can see. I said, she said, "I don't want to talk to you, so I'll come back." And then another hour, I had to went back and says, "You're the only woman that I sleep with." And all this woman of my life, you're the one that I share pillow with. I have to know. Somebody got it. I said, "Can you do?" And she finally conceded, and then she came down. So she came downstairs, and my sister just angry. My mother just banging the dishes when she come. And so she came in the kitchen. My wife very grudgingly, just kind of went up to my mother and says, "I'm sorry." And my mother said a good thing. She said, "No, it's not your fault. Having you, Yoni, be what soy the new year to how. Now having you, you're better than all my daughters." And two of them embrace. And from that moment on, I lost a mother. But my mother gained another daughter. And so every time from now on, my mother has something to tell me, she always tells my wife and says, "Please tell my son." And so I say this is that 这个中国人说我们家和万事兴, if the family relationship is good, it is the biggest blessings. It's not really our career. It's not really how much we have. And if our family relationship is good, it is a great blessing from God. And you really can just kind of look at it and say, smile. You say, thank God. And even though we struggle, but I thank you. And so this is how I could, you know, go out and sometimes share. And I want to tell you, just share it with you, because I make a lot of mistakes. And so my wife helped me, and I try to be a better father. And then also with my kids, I'm trying to be as transparent as I could. You know, sometimes when I go out and I ask my kids, I said, do you know what your dad is going to do? Oh, yeah, you're going to go do 2G things, second generation, 2G. And I said, I hope, you know, some of my older daughter, I hope you're not telling a story about us. I said, no, I'm telling about your dad's, his own mistake. Okay, all right, so. Oh, and I just want to, because we have a good time together today. You can stop me anytime, and we can interact. I don't mean to. If you allow me, I'll just go on and on and on. I mean, the one time that when I was in Wenzhou for 5 days, I could talk for 40 hours. I wrote all these books, and so I can. Each chapter is, you know. And I want to explain to you, this is not commercial time. You, I think you have this book. Some of you have this book. This book is still hot. It just came out of print press. Came out of press in Taipei, and I arrived. This is the third book. This one talked more about relationship and teenagers, faith, especially a faith issue. It's called 一生爱主的第二代. This one was the hardest to write, because as I was writing through it, I was struggling with my second daughter. So a lot of those, I was writing, I was reflecting, and I know one thing, or I need to explain to this. Some of you apparently have paid $2 for each of this. Prayer books, right? Some of you did. We have a new policy, not a new policy, we have changed. We have agreed that all of our books, all of our prayer books are now free. We need to 回馈众教会. I told the publisher, it says, the book are selling well. We really should not be selling prayer books, and so we want to help churches to pray. And this is our sincere wish and our prayer. So all our prayer book now are free to churches or donations only. So those of you who have taken the books, the prayer books, if you think that $2, give it back. I'll be happy to pay it back to you. And just come to me without shame and demand that. No, that's good. Or otherwise, please take more if you think that somebody else could help it. We have one that's called pray for missionaries, and then there's a pray for pastors. I'll talk about this one. Interesting thing is that there are churches using pray for pastors, and allow me to say this, churches going through breakup, churches who lost pastors, or churches who are looking for pastors, they are using this book for a way of praying for their shepherds, and everybody was going through it. Because you know, you and I kind of don't know. We don't know how to pray for pastors, and we just thought. And so these are the. I found this was amazing. The people are using this book for going through this quote unquote healing process, or preparing process, and sort of like premarital counseling book. And so they're doing this, and then there's one that's called pray for the youth in church. And then there's one, pray for 你的子女, pray for your own children. From now on, that all the prayer books are given out free. And if you would like to pick up more or just offering. That's what we need. The books, there are three books. And today we'll talk about the first book, the second book, and the third book. The first book is really talking about someone laying the biblical foundations. And I know some of you, many of you have read it, right? Oh, okay, so I will not repeat them. But I think there's still something I'll just run through. And I'll give you more of the story and then allow you to ask questions. And then the second book is talking about church, what the church could do. And the third book is talking about the young people, our children themselves, but more of the issue around the young people, especially what happened when our children do not, the struggle, especially some of the struggling issues. So, any questions? Oh, any? Sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Sure.
How are you going to see those three topics?
Oh, the three topics that we'll do it three. We'll based on the book. And so there will be a structure. The first one is more. About parents and the biblical foundations. And our second topic will be about church-related issues. And the third one will be about parenting and relational issues. Okay? And but if you, because it's very hard to say, hey, cleanly separate this. So, but if you ask any questions, even if I feel it will be covered, I'll bring it in. So, okay, and this is something that I thought I'd put it together in a more graphic sense. If you forget something, it's called fried rice, and that'll be F and then R I C E, and then I'll explain what that means, the rice part. And RICE stand for relationship, instruction, I for instruction, C for communication, and E for encouragement. Okay, so let's be, we just remember that, RICE. And anyway, we'll talk about it. So we'll come back to that. First of all, and some of this will have Chinese and some of them don't, so that's okay. There are two things I think is very important. And number one, that the children in the Bible, is that number one, that the Bible talked about children is a blessing and from God. And also that it uses the term is a heritage. That means it is given to us to manage. It's just not an iPod for us to enjoy. It is something. It's a mutual fund. Funds for us to manage for God. So this is it's a concept, but it is God's blessing. Children are God's blessing, and for us to manage. And here's the term: it's not for us to control. But when we manage it, this is like a mutual fund. Then we get benefit out of it. But they belong to God. Okay, so yes, it's okay. No, you have a son, and I don't think it's all that wrong that you demand or expect that they would have benefits to you. You enjoy them. No, some people even think that they'll be your retirement. My father, sometimes says, now he's old, so sometimes things come out. He says, your arts be your new role, your arts be. So I thought, Dad, this is very old ideas. Having a son is his tickets to retirement. And I said, well, No, that's good. At least I'm supporting him. I hope that, you know, we always talk to my kids. I hope that you don't just leave me out in the nursing home. And it says, well, you know, we still love you, caring. We expect that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we only just think of our children as this is our glory, my kid is now in Notre Dame, in Stanford, in Yale, in Harvard, and if that is all we're going to think about, we're going to be utterly disappointed. And so children are a blessing from God to us. But another thing is that we are a blessing to our children. And that is, sometimes this is the blessing that we often forget. We are blessings to our children. And we are, just because we are Christians, because we are God-believing people, and our children are born in our family, and not Smith, not Joel or Chen's family, somebody else. Because the children are born in a family, they're a blessing to us, we are a blessing to them. And that is, it's a biblical concept that I think many of us forget. And often, especially, I don't mean to demean those of you from mainland China, but many of the mainland China said, hey, we have become Christians because we made our own personal decisions. We'll leave the decision of whether our kids will believe in Jesus Christ to themselves. That is not biblical. Bible never says, you believe in Jesus, let your kids make their own decisions. This is not a biblical concept. Or when God said, you know, and you read the whole Bible, he said, if you are Christians, your kids, your whole family should also be God-fearing, God-loving, and serve the Lord together. And it is because they're a blessing to us, we are a blessing to them. If we don't fulfill what God has asked us to do, we are not passing on the blessing to them. And and therefore we have a responsibility, and we have an awesome task that we need to do. So this is and therefore that we need to at least have a model. How do we, raise our children? And this is just a general expectation. I'm just reflecting. I think that many of us Chinese, we're thinking already, how do I get my kids to take all the AP and get all those things? We're already doing all those things, and we have done the same thing, and then we want them to get in a good school and ultimately a good career. And some of us now we think a little bit more further. We all want them to have a good family. And as I always tell our kids, it's good that you have a good career, but having a good family, it's really truly a blessing. And so, there are three parts, but yet what the Bible ask us to expect out of our kids. The Bible says, and what God demanded from us is that 神要求我们每一个人的，那就是你要尽心、尽性、尽力爱耶和华你的神。 这个，this is what God expect out of us. Whether it's Sunday, whether it's Saturday when I go garage sale, and I know the will of God. 神要我尽心尽性尽力爱他. This is every day I know. So, but then God also demand or desire that our kids do the same thing. And first, so 尽心是这个, the love with your with all your heart is knowledge. And I explained this in a little bit because in the Middle Eastern concept, to love to with all your heart. Heart is where the thinking is. So it's knowledge, and 尽力, as we know that it's to serve, and with your soul, it's a passion. So this is what God expects out of all of us, and also that expect out of our kids too. In the scripture, you know, that we just use Jesus as an example. There's only one verse that it ever talked about the growing up, the development of Jesus Christ. And so it was, you use this, you know, that Jesus became wise and he grew strong. God was pleased with him and so were the people. And I think this is a very valuable, short, and it tells us there are four things that Jesus grew. And we always say that you become more and more like Jesus. So that's what we say, right? You want to be more like Jesus? And then here is raising, this is how Jesus grew up. That he grew in wisdom and he grew strong. The Chinese, they translate quite well. 知识, 然后身体. None of us want our kids to 小小的, 然后 become a geek. 我们常常讲这个, but then we have an irony. 我们不要我们的孩子去打球. We don't want to be a football. And we want to try to balance. 这个智体, 还有什么? 德智体群. No, we exactly. 群, that part is about the social. We don't want our kids to get into to MIT, but could not communicate. Or so we know we have that idea. There's a Bible. It also has this thing, but there's one thing that's important, that there's four parts to it that we often want them to do well in SAT and get in a good school, and then we want them to grow strong and eat vegetables and eat broccoli. And then they want to be sociable and like, but then often we forget is that their relationship with God. Yeah, 我们本来是有三角的, huh? 都是这种, but then I think the most important here is a four-legged growth. Relationship with God, relationship with people, and then intellectual as well as physical. And I think if we strive for all four, a balanced approach, because I think this is what Chinese, you and I often, we kind of make the mistake, or yeah, we emphasize more of the intellectual, physical, but then in terms of spiritual, we kind of put it down. And I don't think I could add anything that you guys don't know about doing, being wise, being physical, social skill, and but I'll just focus more on the spiritual. But they are all related. They are all related. But let me just be a constant, at least when I'm here, just reminding you that I think if you focus more on the spiritual, everything else will come together. That's why the Bible said, 敬畏耶和华是智慧的开端. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Bible also said, when a person fears the Lord, even his enemy become his friend. And so everything, when you come from, if we focus on the spiritual aspect, I think God will bless our kids all around. But if we focus on, 我的孩子现在不好好读书,不怎么样, I really want to come and say, how is the relationship? What about the spiritual aspect? And so that's So when we talked about the faith of the second generation, there are really three aspects. And so this is why there are three books, because there's so much to talk about. And I don't think this is what we have written is encyclopedia. We just hit some of the issues only. Go ahead. Yes.
Last time you talked about, can you go back to influenza?
This one?
One more.
Okay.
You indicated that spiritual is the weakest part for Chinese church, probably American church too.
Or the Christian parents, yeah. Okay.
But last time you also mentioned that according to the survey, out of the five items that kids feel the least effective one in their teens meeting, the least effective one is Bible study. The more important one are the three F. Include fun, and then cross the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
And then you even praise that our church is the third church that you have ever visited was the court.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into this struggle here. And we're currently hosting our youth program in my house. I think so far we are doing well on the first three F, food, friends, and whatever.
Fun. Okay.
Starting last week when Cherry had that Bible study, somehow they got cut short or they now want to participate as much. So you see my problem here. We want to increase spiritual aspect, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
The other three is easier to do. As you said yesterday, parents mm-hmm. just continue to stack up pizza, right? And then kids will tell you everything that they don't want to tell their parents. So we can do that, but how do you get into the spiritual aspect?
Okay. Let me just back it at all. Game show format, it was never to be a comprehensive, especially when you're a mixed audience. Those are usually just a lead off for you to have something to talk about, okay? And challenging some of your thoughts. They're meant to throw stones in the skip many stones into the little pond and then stir up things. And I know that yesterday, some of you may say, hey, how come we didn't know that you were talking about sex and all that? Okay. And I hope, my sincere hope is I wasn't going to be just that at least you will give you some opportunity to talk about those issues. And there were people that the kids are very young here, but I still don't think that's a problem, okay, personally. But if I offended anybody, I sincerely apologize. But the kids know a lot more than you think. Okay, so hopefully that you'll talk about. My kids asked me what is oral sex when they were sixth grade. When they were Clinton time. Yeah. They read the paper. This morning I was telling my kids, the people come. I had to tell my kids because they were 5, 4, and then 2-year-old. We went to a hotel in Hong Kong. And my wife and I decided to enjoy the longyan, dragon eyes, in the bathroom. And we ate of about 2 pounds worth, you know. For about half an hour, we didn't know what was going on. How come our kids kind of left us there and joined us? So we thought, how come the kids don't? So we went to the room, and they were watching this X-rated show, in and out. I had to explain. I was telling them, but for me, the first thing is I went downstairs to tell them that it wasn't me watching. And I want to make sure I don't get billed for $10. And the guy says, I heard many excuses. If you would watch only half of the show, you still have to pay for the whole show. I said, no. I said, it's my kids who watch it. They said, oh yeah, the dog can turn it on too. No, I mean, this is, this is. And so we had to come up and explain. And then we can talk about this. In my house, we watch movies of different kinds. I'm saying that, you know, we watch R-rated movie. And so anyway, and coming back to this 3F, it's meant to be, but it is true, and I'll defend this. If you want to do youth ministry, it's called the dummies, the dummies, what's a book? Dummies Guide to Youth Ministry is 3F. But then, but after you get that, and there's got to be a fourth F, which is faith. And so fellowship or faith and all that. You're using that as a way of keeping kids together. And then you share. And then you talk about a Bible study. But if you insist to put in a Bible study first or fellowship first, it falls apart. And so, yes, pizza you should have. Basketball court and playing games you should have. Wii with four controllers are perfect. But no, sharing and mentoring is equally important. What I'm trying to say, there are ways of doing the youth ministry is that you don't just pick up the Bible. And today we're going to talk about Romans 1 and, you know, sure. It doesn't work that way. So you really have to depend on the kids and then sharing, building bonds and relationship. You and I may say, hey, this is not the way when I was growing up. My answer is, hey, man, this is very different. This is a postmodern. If we still want to do it the old way, you're gonna run into kids that are just gonna reject. But if you have out of this and you build relationship, and then you can talk about faith. And so that I talked about my boys playing. My boys enjoying it, and then out of that, I thought all they do is playing basketball, but actually, it's intentional. When I ask my kids, you know, how, what do you think, and they says, no, doo-doo say. No, they really listen to advice, so it's good. I oversimplified. But I also trying to exaggerate, hopefully, that you think about this. All right, any questions? Oh, please challenge me.
How old are you?
My kids are 24, 20, and then 2, 16, and then turning 17.
And you say you watch R-rated movies with.
Yeah.
What is the.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know that their father liked Jackie Chan, like this fighting movies, and I like, you know, I enjoy entertainment that the guys come in and hit it, you know, with machine gun, and, you know, they shoot up all the bad guys. So, Jet Li. Immediately, that's art. Okay, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I have to say, we don't have to elaborate on that, but because I rated a movie for anybody over 15 years old.
Yeah.
Under 8,
yeah.
You have
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, very good. Oh, I mean, this is great. But I'm going to just, since I'm the speaker now. Yeah, the violence part, and I whenever, ever since the kids were small, I did not think person. No. And my wife said, no. Some of the violence, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, you know, we watched when the kids were small. They're the love-making scenes, okay? And then when we know that, then we fast forward. So, and dads, you know, they always say, Dad, fast forward that. So, and then my kids, after they come back, they says, Dad, prepare, you know, they're joking me. Now it's, you're gonna have to do it two, three times. So they already watch it with their friends. So, some parts are very steamy sex. I granted. So, and my wife would say uncomfortable and said, "No, that's not change that." But I also tell the kids that we don't do that when they were small, and then when they were older. But there's even issue involved. It's not just the sex part. It's the whole idea of it's not their wife. Okay, it's a girlfriend, or it's just a one-night stand. Okay, and even there's no sex, there's no steamy sex part. We watch all the James Bond. James Bond never does sex with his wife. There's no wife. Yeah. So.
They tell you to stop at a certain point.
Yeah. Right. But they're very steamy. Very steamy. But then the idea that James Bond does it with all the girls that he can get. It's already that, yeah. Yeah.
Talking about, I'm not telling what R means.
No, I am, yeah.
The idea of how do you resolve the parent conflict, moral standard, and bringing up this environment. Everything
is
okay.
No. Yeah.
Sooner or later, they're going to go into society and be a different standard. You don't teach them at home, they're going to learn from school.
And that's what we tell. And always, it may sound a bit, but we always, at every movie, say, hey, we don't do it this way. Okay. And our kids know that. We have said it before, that, and my wife says, "I still that is not right. Okay, this is not what we believe." And so we have known that, and but we have not, just because this the relationship take place not between husband and wife, and we restrict them not to watch those. Let me explain it again. We have told them what we believe, and our kids know what we believe. And we also trying to live an example that this is sad. Well, James Bond does all this, but we don't. Okay? And this is Hollywood. This is people in the world. My other concern is that homosexual. It's very tolerant. You know, in the movie, it's, you know, and they know it. The kids, you know, my wife is shocked. They always said, "Oh, how do you know she's homosexual?" It's just because in the movie, there's a scene. You know, they would do it on the show. The kids say, "Oh yeah, he's homosexual." But they never said anything. But then, but the message it conveyed is. We condone it. We accept that. So we are, if we parents do not say, state your own positions, and we do, and we said, we are Christians, and we follow the Bible. But coming back, This is easy to say. But I do have four kids, but I have two kids who hate, or anyway, they find objections in some of this. And I'll be honest with it, because they have a youth pastor who sees this problem with the cultural and the influence. So he always tells the kids before the movie coming out, and then he says this movie is talk about homosexuality, condoned, or the sexual relationship, or he likes to talk about it. Says no, this movie represent the evil, and then this represent Jesus Christ, and I understand his intention. His intention is that trying to apply Bible into the current culture. But like I said, I have four kids. Two of them find it very good, and then two of them just say, "We hate Pastor Larry. He ruins the movie, and he always sees Bible in everything." And my daughters even said, "How can we be so narrow-minded?" Okay, this is postmodern. And your kids will be saying, "Hey, what's wrong with all this? Why are we so narrow-minded? Why can't we do this?" And I think this is important, that you as parents, I am as a parent, that we need to know, hey, we see all this. This is the world. But we do have a standard. And first, now we would tell them that having premarital sex, extramarital sex, it does not, you think it's good, but it's not. So we're trying to be, husband and wife, your father and your mother, this is what we do, this is a family. And then therefore, sex in our house is not as big an issue. And I'll tell you this, that when you have a living together, and we want to have our own private time, it's easy when the kids are, when they go to bed early. And then we can have our own time. But now that the kids are teenagers, and they'll stay up. And so it's for us, that it's kind of, we feel like we don't have privacy if we have our door closed. So we just tell our kids, "Hey, mom and dad are going to have some time of intimacy. Don't disturb us." Hopefully that I'm trying to, that we're conveying that, hey, your mom and your dad love each other. And hopefully we'll give them a sense of security. And hopefully they will look forward to. When we go on vacations, when we talk about this thing, I always said that, hey, if you look for boyfriends, I tell my daughters, look for one just like your dad. It's a shame, I tell my son, if you look for, if you can look for, just look for one just like your mother. And so, hopefully, they know, hopefully that we will give them a contrast. Go ahead.
I want to say something about the movie situation from the point of view. Necessarily to justify the speaker's point of view about watching our movie, but I think that in the practical sense, parents nowadays have to be realistic. First of all, I want to say R-rated movie generally are not healthy for most of the kids at that level, I would say that much. But not all R-rated movie cannot be watched for kids 16 years old, so forth. Because some of those movies, R-rated movies, are rated because either they have sex, violence, foul language, or some of the other things, that not healthy for those younger. who is not old enough to distinguish what is right or wrong. But generally speaking, I think they are not healthy without parental, you know, selection, because within our movie, there are some that are realistic about life. If I remember right, I think the movie called, Seeking Private
Right,
yeah. It's R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Okay, this movie is recommended by Dobson, one of the real speakers, that all young people should watch this movie. At one time, I was surprised to say that. I think one of the very well-known evangelical speakers mentioned that. Why? Because this generation, young people never seen the trauma and the suffering of war. They said that it's a very good movie to expose the young people to how bad war are, the casualty and so forth. It's a way of learning. They haven't exposed to war, the parents have. This, so, I mean, there are certain values in our movie. It's up to the parent to choose the content and the theme of that particular movie. So the parents should really have some idea what the movie content and what consists of before encouraging the children or the kids to watch it.
Yeah.
You can now, the kids, any of the teenagers now can go to the public library and they can rent R-rated movie anytime you want.
Yeah.
There are quite a lot of R-rated movies. So, I mean, some of them are realistic, about life. So I just want to justify the fact that they are labeled R, then you should, you know, keep the kids from watching, but you have to know what they are watching. And the thing is, if you limit them and say that you can't watch any R movie, then you are laying a rule without a good reason. And some of the kids will differ with you, and they will not even tell you what they want to see. So I think this is part of communication between parents and children. They have this kind of understanding, so they know what the standards are and what are the criteria for those standards. This is what I want to share.
Yeah. Do you have a red box here? REDB? Yeah, yeah. I think that's the best thing. I mean, we get a red box, and if you sign up for red box, you even get a code. Every Monday, you get a free movie. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we use red box a lot, and the kids know. They say, hey, we want this new movie coming out. This, you know, so we just swipe it. And sometimes we get it free. Half the time we get free movies. Anyway, so. And my wife says, stop doing your things. Stop doing your paper, writing your paper. Come down and watch with the kids. So kids enjoy watching the movie. Our kids do, all of them. So we watch with them. And so I think the fact that you're there with them means a lot. And number two, that I know that they said, hey, Dad, we're going to fast forward. Okay, that's good, and they understand that. And then afterward, we would talk about it, because there are movies that they just have sex with anybody, even though it may not have sex act. And many of the things they talk about, it could qualify for PG-13, but then all the values are wrong. So I don't think it's the rating. So if the message that it's carried is wrong, I don't want to be the one who trying to preach to my kids because every movie they watch, because I know two of my kids already dislike that. So I as a father, I understand them. I'll interact with them, and I'll remind them from time to time that our value and. But most importantly, you know, we always said, hey, you know all this thing about this relationship, it's much more important is that this family, we're here. Your parents love each other. Hopefully we serve as a good example. And we unabashedly, we always say that. I hope that your relationship, the kind of boyfriend and girlfriend you're looking for, would be like your mom and dad. And I think parents is the most important factor. Okay. And I think you know this. Some of you have been to it. I use this. who has the most influence on the second generation spirituality. And Sunday school teacher ranked last. And youth pastor and pastors, they don't really carry that much weight. So, coming to this, and I'll explain to you, just add this. Because 2 years ago, China Sunday School Association, 100th anniversary around Taiwan, around the island, they arranged like 10 big gatherings, invited me to be a speaker, and I put this PowerPoint up first. And it's kind of slap on their face. But but let me just explain. I heard that your church Sunday school teachers rotate every 3-4 months? 3 months, okay. That's average. I went to couple church. I found out that the Sunday school teacher rotate every week. Okay. Because it's very much like your church. 很多都是第一代信主，很多都是国内来的。 Okay. I'm not trying to label the 国内. Yeah. Just because parents don't feel comfortable. They say, we don't know what to teach, and therefore nobody wants to teach. Everybody see teaching the Sunday school as 下放. It's a dirty job. It's you have to do this. And the church also had the mentality too, especially Chinese church. We said, oh, you have teaching the 你很有教导的恩赐，你来教成人主日学. You come teach adult Sunday school, and we put the second best in, or with somebody trying out. So therefore, nobody really wants to teach children Sunday school. Okay. And you see that people are shocked and saying that, Pastor Lee, what do you do in this big church for 1,000 people? I said, I teach 5-year-old to the junior high about missions and mission story. But some of this, I'm not the only one. When I was pastoring a church, our second generation program was so strong. And because we have families who were willing to buy pizza and never build a church, you know? You know, I mean, if they turn in the bill, it says, so I bought 30 Sam's Club pizza. You know, how many of you were in the church would say, hey, that's because that's good, we'll pay for it. But they never turn it in, okay? So there are people that in church are just dedicated. And so I found out that one of our deacon's wife, who has taught Sunday school for 18 years, our average Sunday school teacher has been teaching it continuously for at least 5 years. Okay? And so one day I cornered Janine, and it says, who had taught this for almost 17 years. I said, Janine, I heard that you have taught Sunday school for 18 years. 17 years. And then she said, no, 18, straight. So my big mouth again. I said, that means 18 years, you never come to the main worship. Yeah, right? Because we run at the same time, so she's down there. And she looked at me and says, Pastor, how could you say that? I said, what? Yeah, worship is come in here, I preach, you listen. She said, I pray with my kids, we sing praises in the classroom. If you don't call that worship, what is it? Huh? Yeah. I mean, that is it. You know, that somehow that we have this little, if I'm not sitting here, and we said, oh, 不然我没有喂养, huh? So when our church, when I was there, we were a Chinese was about 30. By the time when I finished, it has nothing to do with me. And I'll say this. And my father says, son, the way you pastor, it can grow. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. By the time I was gone, but by the time I left, we went 30 to 150. So there were the people coming in with families. And the last 2 years, I even says to the people, I said, 我们很高兴, we welcome you to our church, but please go to another church and try it out, and I know you will be back. So I challenged them. You guys are the only shop in town, so no, that's so you have a greater responsibility. Now, around my place, I have two other Chinese churches. I invite them to go. I said, please, do shop around. But you'll be like, but I also tell them, if you bring your kids here, you'll never be able to leave. And our Sunday school focused on the three F's, a lot of activities, and the youth program do a lot of mentorship. So, and then a lot of parental involvement. And we have Sunday school teachers who are like this, you know, just at it. They don't want any new person to come in if you're not committed. So, and then also, like Janine says, I look at the kids, I know what to pray for them. And the kids would ask them to the Sunday school teacher to pray for them. You know, most of our Sunday school, we are into the discipline, just trying to control everything, right? Because we have no relationship to build on. And therefore, when we have no relationship, you have no influence. They know all the stories. You cannot come up with new stories. But if you have a relationship, you can share. And I'll tell you that, but not to knock on the Sunday school teacher. So I have to correct this a bit. My two sons, although they may be quiet at home, but then at school, at Sunday school, at church, they're just as a matter of fact, all the church leaders' kids are trouble kids in church. That's yeah. The 同工的孩子都是问题孩子, huh? And that's okay. But that's, I grew up in church too. So, but we were driving up to Yellowstone. And Yellowstone, that I think that's 2,000 miles from Phoenix. We were on vacations. And the kid says, "Dad, if you drive extra hour a day, if you speed for 10 miles, extra 10 miles, we can make it home by Saturday night, 11 o'clock. And I said, "Why?" He says, "Well, because we want to go to Sunday school." Well, my wife and I look at it. My two boys want to go back to Sunday school and want to cut short our vacation by one day. You know, I'm trying to extend into Sunday so I don't have to be in church, you know? And the boys want to go to Sunday school. I says, "Why?" I says, "Well, the Sunday school teacher is having an ice cream social." Okay? Ice cream social, yeah, I can understand. I said, "What's so special about ice cream?" "Oh, no, you don't understand." "Okay, well, I don't understand." "Okay." But I said, but you don't like your Sunday school teacher. You guys always make fun about him. Bozhou, Lin Bozhou. Had a Chinese name. English name is P-O-C-H-O-U. Pocho. No. They always make fun. And they always imitate his Chinese deep Taiwan accents. You know, "Jesus Christ." They always make fun of him. And so we come home and hear and all this thing. But Bozhou has always put his effort into it. And he is an Intel manager for one of the chip development. And I said, "I thought you guys don't like him." He said, No. What happened is that Bozhou respect all this junior high, and he bring his his management problems and ask the kids to solve it. And then using the, ask them to apply the biblical principle. You see? No, he's making the kids say, hey, we've got chips here. Later I asked him, you know, he says a chip. And then they were trying to meet the deadline. And then they were trying to deal with the contractor. So he was explaining all this, and kids got very fascinated with this. And so he was telling them his development things, and then writing codes, and then and then trying to apply the biblical principle and ask the kids to help him. And the kids are getting involved. And so they really like his thing, even though his accent is horrible. And then they don't want to miss the ice cream social because they want to, they got boys and girls that were going to celebrate birthday, and they want to be there for their friend's birthday celebration ice cream social. But what I'm trying to say again is, especially small churches like you, many of us will feel like, hey, I don't know how to do it. And the kids will laugh at me. I don't know how to teach. I never had much training. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's building the relationship and making it applicable. And you can bring your real life into it. Again, this generation, the kids are relational and they are real. Real and relational. Real means bringing down at the level of the friends. Hey, I'm having problems. Let's solve this with me. I shouted at my kids. Me and my wife were having an argument over the little grocery things. From your point of view, can you help me? I said, you can make it fun. Right? No, I don't need a break. It's 12:30. We finished, right? Oh, okay. Then we need a. Some of you may want a small bladder. No. we'll take a break. How's that? 15 minutes? 10 minutes.